I don't expect to get near this far today, but I am going to read down through the 18th verse. John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes or whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today. Thank you for the hymns. Thank you for the special during the offertory. I thank you for the opportunity to come and to read your word. I thank you for the Sunday school classes, the teachers, the opportunity to open your word together and to fellowship over it. And I thank you for this opportunity now to read through these 18 verses of your word, some of the most powerful and necessary words to be heard around the world this day and every day. And so please that you'll just guide and lead us today. Touch our hearts with these verses of Scripture. I hope, Father, there is no one here that says, oh, not again. I've heard those verses of Scripture. I'm saved. Why preach on them again? For the saved, it should just be a pleasing message to our heart. Singing that hymn should just excite our hearts, knowing what being born again means, what we have done. But Father, for those that are lost, it will not only just be a blessed message to hear and to learn and to grow from, but to the lost, it will totally and completely change their life if they'll just listen today. So please, dear Lord, turn those ears of the lost to your Spirit, that the words that are proclaimed will touch their hearts, and all the lives will be changed today. And begin to give you the praise and honor and glory for what you have given them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When we come into this world, as a lost sinner. We come into this world blinded. And that blindness does not change until the day we meet Jesus as our Savior. And so if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior today, you still have that blindness. And you say, well, I can see. No, you can't. You cannot see your sin. You do not see the need of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot obey the living God. You cannot understand the living God. You cannot please the living God until you are born again, until you become a child of God. You can try, you can do all these things. And this book tells us of man's blindness, and specifically of one man's blindness, and that's Nicodemus. And we're going to look at this man for a little bit here before we get to the exciting part of the Lord Jesus as he speaks to Nicodemus. But we need to understand that this passage is a passage that is clearer than any other passage in the Word of God, telling us how to be saved and the need of salvation, to be born again. God takes something very natural to us, and that's birth, and he brings it to a spiritual level to tell us what we need to do. This is a message that needs to be preached in all the pulpits of the world and preached often, and it's a message that is neglected and not preached and not told. And so in turn, people continue to die. People continue to not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just this past week, I was learned of a preacher in my days when I was 8, 9 years old. Just barely remember the preacher. Just barely remember him. And he left and went to another church someplace else. There was a preacher, sad to say, that my grandparents and my parents enjoyed. And I find out that where he stands upon the Word of God just broke my heart, because it told me where my grandparents and my parents stood over the Word of God. There was a man many years ago, an old man, died. His son, at the time was in his later part of life, went to this preacher to preach this to his funeral. And the only question the preacher had of this man, he asked this son of the man that had died, he said, did your father have a good life? And he said, yes, he did. He lived a full life. He lived a good life. He lived a healthy life. He said, that's good, because that's all there is. That was the preacher's statement to this man. And this man was appalled, because he knew Jesus as his Savior. And he knew there was more to come. But the preacher didn't. Nicodemus is much the same way. This message of salvation that we find here through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is one of the most powerful and most beautiful messages in all the Scripture. It is the most difficult message for me to preach each time I preach it. Because, you see, it's the message that the devil hates the most. The devil hates the explanation, the simple message of salvation through you must be born again. We need to listen carefully. To the saved, it should just be a wonderful blessing to our heart to hear this message. To the lost, listen. Please listen today, that you'll be born again today. Nicodemus. We have this first verse of chapter 3, ties in with chapter 2. They have taken out the word, but there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. There was a group that had gathered there. And I believe that there were many as they would visit, but there was something special about this man. This man was more curious than the others. This man sought out Jesus. And I hope today, as you are lost and sitting here, that you will seek out Jesus as your Savior. Please do not deny him any longer. There were many around, but Nicodemus is the only one that's listed here that comes. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was schooled, held what we would call a master's degree or a doctorate degree in religion. He was one of the most highly respected of his day among the Judaism, among the Jews. He was a Pharisee, and the Pharisee had many good beliefs. It was known as the, as far as they were concerned, was the best group in Israel, in of the Jews. They believed in the inspiration of the Old Testament. They believed in the coming of the Messiah. They believed in the miracles that this Messiah, this Savior, would perform. They believed in the resurrection of this Savior. These Pharisees believed that. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which is kind of a court of justice. And again, he was a man of authority here in Jerusalem. They only had as much authority as the Romans would give them. They were under Roman rule at this day. And so when we say that he was a ruler, it was of limited amount because only what Rome would give him. As we look again at the first verse, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He comes by night. A lot of discussion why he came by night. Was he fearful of the other Pharisees? Did he not want them to know he was there? Because the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, hated this man named Jesus. They hated him. And so I would say that's a strong possibility. It could be that as being a leader, some of the Pharisees gathered together and they sent Nicodemus as a representative to question this man, to see, because you see, they are looking for a king and they want the kingdom to begin because they want the Roman rule to end, and they know that this king will do that because they know what the Old Testament says. So they know that this is going to take place. So here they, so whatever the reason, whether he feared the Jews or the Sanhedrin, whether he was just very, very busy in his work and he finished his work and he found Jesus after work. Or it could be that he did not want to speak to Jesus with the crowds. He wanted to speak to him alone. We're not sure. We know it does specify different times through this scripture. He came by night. And so we know that about him. He does address the Lord Jesus as Rabbi. He doesn't say, we think you're a teacher sent from God. He says, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. They had watched his the miracles. They had listened to his words. And they knew that there was something very special about this man. They knew it was very special. And so there was no question about there. Only someone sent from God could perform such miracles. He come inquiring. He come looking. Now, this is Nicodemus' statement to the Lord Jesus. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So they knew that this man had a special power. They did not acknowledge him to be God, but they acknowledged him to have God's power with them. That was Nicodemus' statement to Jesus. At that time, Jesus answers him. Gives an answer without a question. Nicodemus asked him no question. Now, how can Jesus answer his question without being questioned? Can you answer a question? You'll answer that for me. And you would look at me, he says, give me the question. Jesus didn't need the question, because you see, Jesus knows the heart. And Jesus knew exactly what Nicodemus was looking for. He was looking for the kingdom. He was looking for a king. Well, the only way to come into the kingdom of God is the answer Jesus gave. It's a simple answer, but one of the most difficult answers for all mankind to believe, to accept. And this simple answer is, and he made special attention to it, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," I want you to listen. I want you to listen carefully. I want your eyes and your ears to be turned to me, Jesus was saying. And then he says, "Ye must be born again." That's what I'm going to tell you. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus knew that was his question. When is the kingdom of God coming? Are you the king? That was his questions. But Jesus said, "I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus knew the heart of Nicodemus. Jesus knew that Nicodemus was different than the others. Did a group send him, and because of his position he went? Or was it that Nicodemus wanted to come? Nicodemus wanted to know about this man. There was something about this man that's different. And Nicodemus was drawn to him. You could say that Nicodemus was hungry. Nicodemus was thirsting. He wanted to know what this man had to offer him. And he wasn't talking about food. He wasn't talking about food. He wanted something that Jesus had, but Nicodemus didn't know what that was. He said, "How can that be? How can you want something when you don't know what he's got to give?" When it comes to spiritual things, our old natural body is just pretty ignorant. We're pretty dumb to the things of God. As a matter of fact, we are totally ignorant. We have no knowledge of God. And so as Nicodemus comes before our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes desiring something, but he doesn't realize what it is. He knows what he wants. You see, that's the way we come before God many times. We come for something we want. We don't come asking God what he desires to give us. We give him the instructions. Who's the master, my friend? Who's God here? It surely isn't us. We need to listen to his direction, listen to his words. Again, the rule of the Romans, they wanted away from that. They wanted the kingdom to come. But Jesus knew the heart, and he told them about the kingdom. Oh, it's the kingdom of God. And it's not a kingdom of God that was going to be set up on earth at this time, a kingdom that they experienced. This kingdom was a kingdom that you gain citizenship by faith, by believing. Nicodemus was looking at a physical, literal kingdom. And Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." And born again there is can be born from heaven, born anew, born from above, born from God, born of the Spirit. All that's the same. Born again. You need to be born again. That's what he said. Those simple words. Nicodemus was born of the line of Abraham. He felt that that was enough. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus's answer to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answers, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We've got two different levels of conversation going on here. Jesus is completely speaking of spiritual things, of the heart, of the soul, of what needs to take place with the sin that dwells within the lost person. He's talking about a kingdom here that is everlasting, that once you join, once you come, you are forever His. What a wonderful promise as we look to the Word of God. Jesus was speaking of the need of being born again. Nicodemus was speaking of his old nature. That's all he understood. You see, that's all that the old man, the old flesh, can understand. That's all that's present. And when he stands there and Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? We are not really told the age of Nicodemus, but there where we see these words, why I understand that he must be not young. When we're old, how can we be born again? A man be born when he is old. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Do you see how the natural man thinks? And if you're lost today in here, I understand what you're thinking. You think this doesn't make sense. I don't understand this. How can this be? The Word of God tells us that you're born into sin. And the Word of God tells us that in order to have that sin removed from us, we must be born again. There is evidence of all the world. I don't care what area of the world you go into, every person worships something. Some areas it's statues. Some areas it's the sun and the moon. Some of the tribes that you find down in the center of Africa or some group. Every group worships something. You see, God put in the heart the need to worship Him. But because of sin, we have no desire for Him. But the hole is still there. That absence is still there. What are you going to fill that with? What are you going to try to put into that? If you're young, are you going to try to fill it with education? Are you going to try to fill it with all your worldly goals? And if you're old, you look back and you tried to fill it. I don't understand why that the figures are strong, that the older we get, the fewer people are saved. I don't understand that. Because the older we get, the more we ought to recognize that we have failed in everything we have tried. You get so old and you look back and you see that I wanted this and I achieved it, but it didn't bring peace. It didn't bring a joy to me. So I tried this, and it did the same. I was successful at it, but it didn't bring me pleasure. It's for a short time. So I sought after something else and something else. And you would think when a person that's old would hear the gospel, they would say, yes, that's what I've been missing. And the Spirit of God could come in. But that's not true. Most folks that get to an old age die lost without the Lord Jesus. So don't wait. Don't get your heart so hardened Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, "And I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh," or a new heart. That's what God wants to give. He wants to give us a new heart. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful hope that each one of us have. And he's telling this religious man, this lost man, this man that has all this knowledge, but he lacks the most important thing in all the world, and that's a relationship with Jesus. He doesn't know him as his personal Savior. See, knowledge doesn't do it. Belonging to a church doesn't do it. It's knowing Jesus. It's being born again. That's what makes the difference. You know, when we're born again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Paul spoke of it in this manner. "I'm alive from the dead." That's what he looked at his salvation. Now, if you're still dead in your trespasses and sins, you don't see that. But, my friend, believe the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. That's all you need to do. Believe the Word of God. Paul says, alive from the dead. No matter how sincere or how smart that you may be, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit before you'll be able to see and enjoy the kingdom of God. A kingdom that can be yours, a spiritual kingdom that can be gained only by faith coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. This new birth, the world today just speaks as something that is a figment of their imagination. It's not. It's real. It's definite. You know, the natural birth, we understand that. That's the reason the Lord used this example here. You need to be born again. To be born naturally, it takes earthly parents. We have the earthly parents. The seed is planted, and a child is born. We have that child growing up, being like, having the life and the nature, the disposition, the personality of their parents. Sometimes, no matter how much they try not to be influenced by them, when they get older, they're just like them. That nature, it makes them like them. Well, that's fine if that's a good nature. But many times, and you know it as well as I do, what habits do our children pick up that we have? There's a word for it. It is all the bad ones. They see those. They pick those up. They do those. Most folks have good qualities, but it doesn't seem like our children gain those. They take the others. We understand the natural birth. How about the spiritual birth? To be born again, Jesus says right here in this third verse, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." A spiritual birth comes with a seed planted, believing in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And at that time, then, we take on the nature of our Father, our Heavenly Father. So we should begin to change our personality, our dispositions. Our nature should be different because we're born again. And as we learn the Word of God and grow in the Word of God, that's exactly what happens. We change. We stop being like the world. You can see when you're around the world and you're not around Christians. You're around the world and the talk of the world versus being in the Word of God. Very quickly, as Christians, we begin to pick up the conversation of the world. And that should frighten us. We should turn to Him and immediately begin to spend more time in His Word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus." A new birth is not something we do. A new birth comes from our God. It's His doing, and His doing completely, not by works. To become a believer is nothing short of a miracle from our God. Nicodemus came, he come thinking of things, desiring to do things. And the world does that. And most religions today connect works with salvation, because it's what natural man wants. But salvation is one thing, and that is the grace of God. It is a work that He does. Jesus comes to change the heart. He came into this world to die for the sinners, for you and me, and He did. And He rose again. What a wonderful work our Lord has done. He says, "Ye must be born again to see the kingdom of God." Ye must be born again. Now, it's something that begins immediately. It begins right here and right now, the day you trust in Jesus. But if you refuse to trust in Jesus, it's not that you just miss His joy and His strength and His peace here. There is an eternal life tied to this kingdom. And there is also eternal damnation to those that refuse it. So please today, don't tempt God. Don't put a wager down saying, "I don't believe it's true." Because that wager you have placed there is your life. Don't waste one more day in this world. Become a child of God. Trust in Jesus as your Savior. Ye must be born again. All you have to do is say, "Jesus, please come into my heart and save me." It's just that simple. You can say, as many do, "You know, you're preaching to the choir. We know this." I don't believe all of us do. Ye must be born again. Now we're going to continue, because I didn't even get to the fourth verse. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Listen to the Word of God. We're going to talk about that seed that's planted. And I believe it's planted today. Now, are you going to allow it to grow? A seed that's given any nourishment will grow. It'll grow. You need to come by faith to Jesus. Is this little entrance, this urging in your heart? Please come and trust in Him. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Don't let that devil trick you one more day. Don't let him lie to you one more day. We've talked about it, and we'll close with this. God desires blessing and love and nothing but goodness for you. The devil offers only death and destruction to you. And there are only two: the God of the heavens, the true God, Jehovah, and the devil, the god of this world. You're listening to one of them. You're listening to one. One wants to destroy you. The other wants to build you up and strengthen you. Which one do you want to follow? Please believe the word of God. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. There have been multitudes that have rejected this message through the years. There will be multitudes in the future that will reject this message. But I ask, dear Lord, today that today be not the time that anyone here rejects it. Dear Father, I ask that you send your Spirit, that he come and he put that heart into such a hold that they have to today make a decision to trust in you or to reject you. But get off the fence. And I hope today that it not be a rejection. Don't let the word say that, you know, people think I'm already saved. Oh, I should have done this a long time ago. I'm too old now. Jesus saves. Dear Father, touch every heart today with those precious, sweet words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.